everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful grizzly bear. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Isaac, Amy Sue, Taylor, Melody, Tammy, Lean, Tim, and Caleb. I hope you all enjoy your very own episode. This episode is also dedicated to those of you on Patreon because you guys voted for this episode. If you would like to support the show's mission of helping you relax while giving you animal facts, go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just click the Patreon link in the description. This week on the Patreon, we learned about the stellar sea cow, basically a dugong but bigger. I couldn't be more happy. Go check it out. And the last shout out is to George Vlad, who has provided the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description. You should go subscribe and check him out as well. And now let us begin to wind down a little bit. If you are new, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family. I am so grateful that you are joining me on this adventure for the first time. And for those of you that are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of comfortable hiking shoes. We are definitely going to be needing those for where we are going today. And my second encouragement, which is arguably the most important, is that you realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head, the neck, the arms, the legs? Everybody is different. If you don't actually know where you carry tension, you can start from the bottom of your feet and just work your way up to the top of the head in your mind, kind of just relaxing as you go. For our adventures together, we don't want to be stiff as a board. And my last exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me as we go into an Alaskan forest where the grizzly bear resides. There is a certain amount of wonder in this place. I think that there's a reason so many fairy tales take us into the forest. There is something truly special about this environment. The familiar greens and browns of the trees giving us that occasional glimpse into the bright blue sky. This is what fairy tales are made of. But we are looking for a creature today that is in no way unreal. Unless we are using that word as a way of describing just how awesome they are. I am honestly surprised it has taken us this long to learn about this creature. The grizzly bear was the mascot for the show for quite a while before we switched to the red fox. So I, for one, am pretty excited to learn about them with you. The term grizzly bear is their common name. Their scientific name is Ursus arctos horribilis. And of course, we are given many clues as to what kind of animal this is by these Latin and Greek words. Both the words Ursus and arctos are Latin and Greek, respectively. The former is the Latin word for a bear, and the latter a Greek word for the bear. The last part of their scientific name, horribilis, is a Latin word, and it may seem very familiar to you because in English we use the descriptor horrible. So from their scientific name, we learn that this creature is a horrible bear. Now remember that oftentimes language takes on new flavors as we go along through history. A similar term that has gone through a little bit of a transformation is the word terrible. Terrible in the past had a greater sense of awe and respect to it, as if to say that something had so much strength or so much power that it could kind of do whatever it wanted. So one could say that the grizzly bear is terrible, not in the sense that they are bad, but that their raw and sheer strength is something that provokes an immediate sort of reverence or awe. And such it was for the term horrible. This creature was the kind that would immediately provoke in ancient peoples a sense of fear. And of course, we will shortly see why that is. This is a creature that deserves a healthy amount of fear and respect. These creatures are mammals and they are omnivorous. In the wild, they will live an average of 25 years of age, weighing an average of 800 pounds or around 360 kilos, and when standing on their hind legs, they can be an average of 5 to 8 feet. Even on our adventures, in which we get closer to a lot of creatures than we normally could. In the case of the grizzly bear, I think it is best that we observe them slightly from afar. The grizzly bear is a North American subspecies of the brown bear, and so, intuitively, they are typically brown. But what separates them from other brown bears is that their fur can appear to be white-tipped or grizzled. It is going to be kind of hard not to spoil the name portion of the episode. There was a time in history in which grizzlies lived in much of the western part of North America, and they even sported the Great Plains. That may seem surprising, but these animals actually like a lot of space. The home range of a single grizzly bear can encompass up to 600 square miles, so they are looking for heavily forested areas and very much away from human civilization. Some grizzly bear populations can still be found in places like Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and even here in Canada. And something we can perhaps deduce from their large range is that they tend to be solitary creatures. This is, of course, with the exception of females and when they have cubs, but there are times where they have been seen to congregate together. For example, during prime Alaskan fishing time, they will go up and try to catch the salmon that are running upstream for the summer. Dozens of bears can gather together to join in on this feast, and there are videos online showcasing this wonderful congregation. So now that we are on the topic of salmon, let's talk about their diet. As we learned at the top of the show, these creatures are omnivorous. In addition to eating small mammals, fish, carrion, and others, they will also have a diet supplemented by berries, plant roots, and shoots. I'm noticing that conspicuously missing from this article is their love of honey. We've all seen Winnie the Pooh, so these guys have to step it up. But their goal in eating as much as they do is to accumulate large amounts of fat that will allow them to sustain the winter time. Bears communicate with each other by marking the boundaries of their territories. They do this by rubbing themselves on trees, scratching bark, and even biting large pieces from the trunks of trees. I imagine that when they are rubbing trees, this is about 50% marking their territory and about 50% just scratching their back. In addition to using these forms of communication, they'll use other sounds, movements, and smells to communicate with one another. They will growl or grunt, and this can especially be seen in mother grizzlies who are communicating with their young. And a slightly less sophisticated form of communication is practiced by male bears who will fight each other. This can be for territory or for females, but it is quite the remarkable sight to see two grizzly bears fighting. I would say it is better than many action movies I've seen, but what we can see is that grizzlies are especially territorial and protective. A male will protect his territory as fiercely as possible. The only thing that can exceed the aggression of a male defending his territory is that of a mother grizzly protecting her cubs. And when I was younger, I always never really understood why you wouldn't run away from a bear. I thought in my head, I can run pretty fast. I can probably just outrun them. But then you learn that grizzlies can run as fast as 35 miles an hour. That's over 56 kilometers an hour. Long story short, my 12-year-old self was not going to outrun a grizzly. When they are young, they can climb trees to avoid danger, but they quickly lose this ability as their front claws grow longer. But they make up for it by being great swimmers. Now, one of the things that very quickly points out to us that this is a grizzly bear is that large hump that is on the top of their back. That hump is just pure muscle. The front limbs on a grizzly bear are incredibly strong. And they need to be strong because the grizzly, more than any other type of bear, love to dig into the dirt and just tear apart all sorts of stuff. They'll be looking for roots, plant bulbs, insects, and grubs, and they can just rip apart rotten logs like nothing. And something that is particularly important during winter time is a place to stay. That huge muscle that forms that hump on the grizzly bear gives them that strength to dig out winter dens. It can be in mountainous and sometimes even rocky terrain. These things are basically excavators that can run 35 miles an hour, but they are still not as scary as a tardigrade if the tardigrade was their size. So for that, we can be grateful. And during the winter time, they are going to be entering these dens and entering into a state that is not actually, strictly speaking, hibernation. Contrary to popular belief, bears do not actually hibernate. An animal that truly does hibernate would be the woodchuck. But the bear enters into a state that we have covered a couple of times in recent episodes called torpor. This is similar to a hibernative state in which their metabolism slows down and they can sleep for long periods, but for true hibernators, it requires that they sleep through the entire winter and won't wake up even when there's a loud noise or when they're touched or moved. A bear that is in its state of torpor can wake up pretty quickly at a touch or at a noise. Their physiology is built for this. While one might think that laying around all winter causes some significant muscle loss, and in the case of the grizzly bear, this would be very bad, but they have a special mechanism in which they absorb their urine and recycle it into a protein. This protein, in turn, preserves their muscle mass during this long period of inactivity. That is why they can exit that den still with a big hump on their back. They'll need that strength when they go through big boulder fields and turn over heavy rocks like those in Yellowstone. Under these big boulders are varieties of different insects, but particularly the moth. One grizzly bear in Yellowstone National Park was estimated to have consumed over 40,000 moths in one day. While that amount of moths might not seem like a lot, they can eat up to 90 pounds of food in one day. That's almost 400 quarter pounders from McDonald's. The bite force of the grizzly bear is incredibly strong, about 975 psi. That ranks them among some of the strongest bite forces in the animal kingdom. If a grizzly bear wanted to, they could crush a bowling ball with their jaws. Female grizzlies in January or February will bring into the world 1 to 4 cubs at a time, though it is usually 2. The female will care for her young inside the den until springtime, in which they will finally step out into the big, bold world. A cub requires about 2 years of caring by their mother. The mother will fearlessly and fiercely protect them from danger and feed them whatever they need. By the time the cubs become about 2.5 years old, they have separated from their mothers. but the timeline in which cubs leave their mother's side depends on the amount of food. Some areas with very little food will cause cubs to stay with their mothers longer. And for the final fact before the name, let's cover that whole bear honey thing. Winnie the Pooh did speak a lot of truth in the sense that bears do love honey. Of course, in that show, I think Winnie the Pooh sort of only ate honey, while in real life bears eat much more than that, but the point still stands. The grizzly bear is very attracted to beehives and can provide them, in addition to that sweetness, some protein from the larvae inside. But one might ask, how can they eat without getting stung? Me and you have many places on our bodies in which being stung doesn't feel very nice. We have many more vulnerable spots in which the stinger can do some damage. But the skin of a grizzly bear is much thicker than ours. Their thick skin provides a solid protection from their shorter stingers. There are some vulnerable areas on the grizzly bear, of course, such as their face and their eyes. But oftentimes, bees will just sting wherever. So they are made to be honey thieves. And now, let us move to the name portion of the episode. We already know why they are called grizzly bears. It's because of their grizzled hair at the tips. So let's just cover the word bear. I am pretty sure we learned about it on the polar bear episode, but there is no harm in learning about it again. So we took the word bear from the Proto-Germanic word bero, which means literally the brown one. This word is often traced back to a Proto-Indo-European root word bear, B-H-E-R. And this word just means bright or brown. So this makes sense. And now for the dreaded dad joke of the episode. I am so sorry in advance. Check this out. A grizzly bear invites a rabbit into his den. The rabbit says, "This place is awesome. How'd you get it?" And the grizzly responded, "I built it with my bare hands." At the start of that joke, I was wearing a t-shirt and some dress pants, but upon uttering what ought not be uttered, my t-shirt grew a collar and I'm now wearing cargo pants. Now that I have ruined your day, let us move on to some Spotify responses. For last week's episode, I asked you guys what your favorite thing about Relax with Animal Facts was. Kylie responded saying, "The dad jokes. It's something that I always look forward to while listening. I am so glad that the utter desolation of my spirits is something you always look forward to." But Kylie, it seems as though you have Izzle Bizzle to thank for this. Izzle responded saying, "The sea animals are my faves. I actually suggested the jokes and I love them. I'm happy you did that for me. You don't need to read this since there are other ones. It would make me happy if you did." Well, Izzle, I read it because I wanted everyone to know who was responsible for this. I thank you for your suggestion, but in all seriousness, thank you for your suggestion. This show has truly been molded by all of you. By you, Izzle, by you, Kylie, all of you guys are a part of what make it special. Frank responded saying, "I absolutely love the etymology. You help me appreciate my 8th grade Latin a little more." Gratias tibi ago, Frank, et spero nos pluras imuldiscere. Or in English, thank you, and I hope that we will learn more together. It might seem obvious after so many episodes of going into etymologies and scientific names, my other passion besides animals is ancient languages. I particularly think that the way in which Latin has been taught in schools is a travesty. A beautiful window into one of the most interesting times of human history is obscured by those who don't care about the language or would prefer to go on for an hour and a half about conjugation charts. That is like finding a gold bar and instead of using it to gain access to tons of different things, you try to skateboard with it. But this is not a forum for me to air my grievances. The wonderful thing about our adventures together is that both of my passions come together as well. And now, let us move on to the review on Apple Podcasts. This review was written by Honor and is coming all the way from Great Britain. And Honor writes, "This podcast is perfect for helping you get to sleep, and as an added bonus, you get to wake up every morning and provide everyone in your life with their daily dose of animal facts. Thank you for all the work you put into this podcast, Stefan. Thank you for that very generous review. I'm so happy that you enjoy it. And the pleasure is all mine in going with all of you into the forests and seas and mountains. We have learned so much together, and this podcast is in no way work for me. I need time to do it, that much is true. But all of you make doing this show a joy. I encourage all of you to answer the questions and polls on Spotify because it gives me a way of communicating with you. And also to follow or subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen. If you would like to request an animal, you can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and click on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. or by sending a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram. To get an extra Relax with Animal Facts episode every single week, in order to keep your animal knowledge top-notch, go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts and become a patron. You can join with a free trial. It is totally commitment-free. Listen to however much you'd like. You can come on if you want to, but if you don't, you can say you tried. And a huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances in today's episode. His work is in the description. Go check him out. The facts in this episode came from bearsmart.com, nwf.org, nationalgeographic.com, britannica.com, natureconservancy.ca, and etimonline.com. I am so grateful that you have taken time out of your day or your evening, your night, to join me on this adventure. Your listenership means the world, and you make the show so much better. What a cool animal we have learned about today. The grizzly bear is one of those apex predators that give us pause. I truly did not mean to say a dad joke, but when I have my cargo shorts on, I just can't help myself. But joking aside, the grizzly bear is a creature that immediately grabs us by the shoulders. It demands a respect from us and a healthy amount of fear. They are fast, big, and strong, and have been a symbol for the majesty of the animal kingdom for quite some time. But the amazing thing about animals is that there are hundreds of thousands of them, each proclaiming from the rooftops their uniqueness and beauty. Here on the show, we have not even begun to reach the foothills of the animal kingdom. That is exciting, and I look forward to the next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.